Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind, Your Body, and Spirit Radio Show. This is your host, Marcia Carnicelli Minor. And to have a show that is totally dedicated to preventive natural health, personal growth, and positive news, we have had one comment after another when people hear those words. And most recently, what has been said is, oh my, positive news. What a novel idea and what a wonderful thing. And I know where that's coming from. So many people appreciate more and more when they are listening and reading things that have to do with wellness, balance, peace, love, positive news of all sorts. And this is really, really where we want to put our attention. Because the way that I've always said it is that when we focus on the light, it takes care of everything else. You are listening to Mind, Your Body, and Spirit Radio Show, brought to you by the Healthy Referral Newspaper. Our Healthy Referral Newspaper is a physical 28 to 36 page newspaper that we started back in 1989. And yes, it's been about 24 plus years. Absolutely amazing and hard to believe. Time flies when you're having a lot of fun. And we are receiving more and more calls from people who have missions and businesses that have to do with preventive and natural health, personal growth, positive news, all the things that make up, you know, a really beautiful energy on the planet. So we are receiving many more calls from you, the listeners, and we appreciate that. Thanks so much. Some of those calls are inquiring about how you can actually be involved in our Healthy Referral Newspaper. It's very, very simple. You can just call us, let us know your interest. We will talk to you more about how it's done. It's very simple. And I'll give you our contact information now, and that number is 216-533-2273, again, 216-533-2273. Our web address is www.healthyreferral.com. Again, just as it sounds, healthy, and then we spell referral, R-E-F-E-R-R-A-L.com. The only reason I spell that out is because people call us and say they can't get into our site, and it's because they're spelling the word referral differently. So, again, it's healthyreferral.com. To email, which we would love to hear from you by email as well, there's a number of emails on our website. It doesn't really matter which one you use. You can use this one, and that is M as in Marie, A-R-C-H-I-A-C, M as in Mary, at yahoo.com. So it's Marcia, CM, at yahoo.com. And again, If you are in the fields of preventive, natural health, personal growth, positive news, anything that is about good on the planet, you are able to promote through the Healthy Referral newspaper. And also on this radio show, Mind Your Body and Spirit, there are ways that you can be interviewed, and there are actually a number of ways. Again, we would talk with you in person by way of phone, that is, as to how you can do that. There is something else also that's very close to our hearts and that is continuing to move forward. Our 16th International Natural Health and Foods Expo, Nutritional Wealth, Financial Health, is being planned for spring of 2013 in Orlando, Florida. And we are presently looking at the Orlando Convention Center. We're actually in discussion right now, just fine-tuning a few things. So as more of those details arise, we will share those with you. Now, there is a website that has been created for people to go to with interest in the expo. You can fill out a form, no obligation, of course, express your interest in exhibiting, attending, et cetera, speaking, whatever it might be, your sponsorships. And then we will receive that information, and we will have a record of that so that we can get back to you. That web address is healthandspiritnetwork.com. Once again, that's healthandspiritnetwork.com. You can go there, fill out that form to express your interest, and also go to that site to continue to be updated as things become more clear and actually finalized. And of course, again, please call us with any questions that you may have, and that's 216-533-2273. All right, we're going to move along, and I actually just very recently have been going through some of my past notes, and I came across something that is very, very special for me. It is a song that I actually wrote and gave to a good friend of mine years ago who's a professional singer, and she put it to music, got it copywritten and all that. And for quite a long time, I have been considering on putting it to different kind of music and actually singing it myself. But in a poem form, it is really, really neat and says a lot. So I thought I would just go ahead and open the show with sharing with you a poem or song called Possibilities. And it goes like this. Possibilities, what possibilities in this environment called Earth? The space from which we have to evolve, varied and rich to us all, for thinking and acting beyond the theme of it all. Possibilities, what possibilities in this environment called Earth? We're living in this world, sharing within and without, sharing with each other, together working it out. Possibilities, what possibilities in this environment called Earth? Being alive is love. Having our dreams begin. The sun never sets. Our growth expands to no end. Possibilities, what possibilities in this environment called Earth? Possibilities, what possibilities? Together we can have it work. And again, that is a poem. It actually started out as a poem, turned into a song, and I'm looking forward as time goes on to share more with you as far as this actually being redone and having it put to different kind of music and me finally singing it, which I am looking forward to and a little scared and a little excited at the same time. There are so many organizations close to our hearts, and I am choosing to share on Mind, Your Body, and Spirit one that was introduced to me a couple years ago by someone who became a very good friend of mine, and that's actually Diane Phillips. And Diane introduced me to the Institutes for the Achievement of Human Potential. Again, that's the Institutes for the Achievement of Human Potential. And for your information, their web address is www.iahp.org. IAHP.org. What is the Institutes for the Achievement of Human Potential? They started out 58 years ago working with brain-injured children. They were having so much success with working with parents of brain-injured children, because that's really how the process is, is shared. And they were having such tremendous results that they said, if this is the kind of result that we're getting from working with brain-injured children, can you imagine what we could do with well children? They began working with well children, and the results skyrocketed. They began then to also work more with the well children, in addition to the brain-injured children, which they still presently do, and it is a big, big part of what they do, alongside of also working with well children. And they, as I mentioned, work with the parent or parents to teach them how to work with their child from the time that the baby is born. And actually, in my opinion, before the baby actually comes out of the womb. Those first 6 years from baby to 6 years of age are such a group of years where children can learn so very much. We all, listening to this show, if we were worked with in this way, we could be speaking many languages, not that we can't still, or some of us don't. Mathematics, I mean, all of it is, and it's such a simple process as how to work with with a child. It's not that you have to be a teacher. It's not that you have to know everything. In fact, you do not. You know, as a parent, don't feel insecure because thinking, well, I don't know this, how am I going to teach it? That is not how it's done. The processes or the programs are so simple. You get the tools. There's, for instance, one of the books is called How to Teach Your Baby to Read. How to Teach Your Baby to Read. And I got this book some days ago. I could not stop reading it. And I made myself do that so I could send it to my daughter so she could be working with my grandson, and I'll just get another one, along with planning to get her the tools, simple tools to do that so that she will actually have those. So I wanted to share this with you, and you can, if you don't have children, if you don't have children of your own, you may have grandchildren, or you have a friend who has children or is going to be having children, regardless of who it is, this is something to share with them. It could make such a huge difference in what they take in on a mental, physical, and emotional, and even spiritual level. So again, it's called the Institutes for the Achievement of Human Potential, www.iahp.org. Okay, let's see. I'm going to share just one or two others, and then we're going to go on. I'm going to share with you about our interview today and this wonderful person that I know is on hold. There is an author, Jill Cikins, C-I-K-I-N-S. She has written a book, and I had them send me the book, and I love it. It's called Little Princess. And it is Little Princess Explores Principles of Nam Yoga. And that's N-A-A-M as in Mary, Yoga. And today, I Am a Princess is the story of a little girl who lives every day to her full potential using principles from Nam Yoga to light her way. It's a very, very precious book. And again, I like to use the radio show and our newspaper to do mini reviews on things like this. So please go ahead and inquire about Today I Am a Princess by Jill Cikins, C-I-K-I-N-S. And you can check with any of your bookstores or go online and check it out. because you can actually go to, and I will give you a website or two here because they do give it to me. Of course, Amazon, .com you can go to. But their site is www.nam, that's N as in Nancy, A-A, M as in Mary, Pedia, P as in Paul, E, D as in David, IA.com. So it's nampedia.com. And again, at Amazon, of course, if you go to Amazon most of the time. Okay, there's more, but I'm going to save. We're getting more and more books and tapes and all that kind of thing through the weeks and the months, so I will continue to share those as we move along. All right. I know that many of you who are listening to the show week after week, it's been a very special, special opportunity to get to know so many of you. And the guests that we have, that we interview, are absolutely amazing. And it is a joy to continue to meet people all over the country, in fact, all over the world, because we have been doing interviews with those who are not just in the United States, but who are, in Italy, for instance. We did an interview with Andre Bocelli, and it was very interesting because I talked with their people, and he was interested, but he needed to do it in a very unusual way, and that was by way of email. So I put together questions and sent them off to his assistant, and she worked with him, and they responded, and I did a show around all of that, and it's in our archives section. And it was a beautiful, beautiful, emailed interview, and a very special one. So again, we do interviews with people all over the world. All right, what I'm going to do right now is to share with you a little bit about the person that's on hold, and she's been very patient. And I know that I'm working on her name a little bit. It's very simple, but I'm hoping that I do say this correctly, and when I bring her on, she can let me know. It's I-N-N-A, and I pronounce it as Inya, or Inna, Topler, T-O-P-I-L-E-R. And Inya is a clinical nutritionist, and she is also the owner of what is called Complete Nutrition and Wellness. She actually holds a master's degree in human nutrition and is certified with what is called, and some of you, I'm sure, know some of these initials, which is ACN, and also CBNS and AADP. I know that we, being that we're in the field that we are, we know what a lot of these are, but many of you may not. But that's okay, because as we go along, you'll learn more about her. After graduating from Lehigh University with a business degree, she entered the corporate world in the field of finance. However, by the time she turned about 25, she began to feel sick and developed digestive disorders, and was pretty much chronically tired. Doctor after doctor prescribed different medications. This sounds like a similar story, doesn't it, listeners? To treat her symptoms, but the ailments did not go away. And not wanting to commit herself to a lifetime of drugs, she found a clinical nutritionist that was able to show her the proper way to eat, and discovered many imbalances through various functional tests. Inya was able to take charge of her condition and drastically improve her health and well-being with health-promoting superfoods, high-quality supplements, and natural therapies. She watched her life transform when she changed her chemically processed junk food diet and substituted the proper nutrients that her body needed while cleansing heavy metals and other toxins. And I can go on and tell you more about her, but I'm not going to do that because I've already had her on hold for a while. So I'm going to go ahead and bring her on. I'm going to open her mic. Let me just make sure this works here. Are you there?
Hi. Hi, yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Thanks for being so patient.
Of course, no problem.
You know, Enya, I want to start out by making sure that your name is being pronounced correctly. So,
yeah, so it's Ina.
How do you? Mm-hmm.
Ina. So it's kind of like Tina or Dina with no T or D. So it's just Ina.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's very strange, so you're not the first, so please don't feel bad. I get all types of Ina, Ina, Anna, Ina, Gina, Tina, you name it. So I'm very used to it, so please don't feel bad.
Well, you know, I understand that it's long E sound, now I'll be okay.
Okay.
Because I just wasn't, you know, aware of that. And even though I've heard you say your name, you know, I guess I just didn't implant that in my mind. Okay, you know, long E, a little bit of phonetics or whatever here. So I know that it's a beautiful name. And at one point I actually asked you, you know, about that because it is different. And I'm so into names and I appreciate sort of, you know, telling me a little bit about your name. But I, as you heard, was sharing a little bit about you, and I always like to give our guests the opportunity to really expand more and not have me say a whole lot. I feel it's important for listeners to hear it from you yourself. So with the little bit that I did share, how about if we kind of just start in that arena, Ina, and go ahead and share a little bit about what has you where you are today, doing what you're doing.
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, like you were sharing earlier, I got into this field because of my own need, and I think that there's a lot of practitioners who practice more natural, you know, integrative type of, you know, whether it's medicine or nutrition or natural, you know, health and healing, tend to get into it because of their own issues. Because, you know, when you need something and you don't get it anywhere, you sort of look for other answers because, you know, as I always say, there has to be an answer. And so, you know, as you were saying, I did have a lot of issues at a fairly young age. And I was surprised. I mean, it was also the first time in my life that I went to the doctor and didn't have an answer, you know, because before, you know, when I was younger, you know, you would get, let's say, an infection, they give you an antibiotic, and you get better and all is okay. So it was very strange to kind of go from doctor to doctor and not have any answers and not, you know, even have different medications that weren't working. You know, now, of course, doing what I do, I understand that, you know, when something is a little bit more chronic, you know, there's not really a medication for everything. And so, you know, after kind of going for about a year, I think I went, you know, the route of conventional medicine. And please don't get me wrong, I'm not anti-conventional medicine. I think there's a time and place for everything. But, you know, because my things were a little bit more kind of all around, it wasn't just one specific issue. That's why it didn't work for me. And so, you know, once I started seeing a clinical nutritionist and a naturopathic doctor, you know, they introduced me to a whole world that I never knew about before. You know, I never really understood, you know, because no one really explained this to me before, you know, how much food affects things. And it's really interesting, you know, if you think about it, obviously everything that we put in our mouth and everything that we eat is then becomes us. You know, it makes our cells and tissues and, you know, everything. But I think that I, as with most young adults at that point, sort of thought, well, you know, you eat and then it just goes into some black hole and there it goes. So, you know, I had a lot of food education on that end. And, you know, it's amazing. When you eat crappy foods, you're going to feel crappy. When you eat good, healthy, clean foods, you know, and that gives you nutrients, you know, that's going to make a difference. But, you know,
absolutely,
further than that, and I think food is wonderful. In my practice now, you know, that's really the foundation of everything. But I think that with most people, especially once there is a condition, you know, we have to really go a little bit beyond that, you know, because if someone has a deficiency or an excess of something, which is really common, what the good foods are going to do is they're going to keep everything, you know, the way it is, and they're going to give you more nutrients, but they're not going to take out something that's potentially toxic or add more of something that you're missing, because usually foods have, you know, a little bit of all of the different nutrients. And so the doctors that I saw, you know, what they helped me understand is with a lot of the testing that they did, and this is very different than just regular blood tests. I mean, these were more integrative tests. So we found out that, you know, I had a lot of deficiencies, but I also had a lot of excesses and metals that really don't belong in the body. And so I did special detoxes and, you know, a lot of different types of therapies to get everything in balance. And then once everything is in balance, at that point, then keeping with good, clean, healthy foods, you can keep things going and stay healthy, but sometimes you need to kind of just shift whatever the imbalances are first. And I just thought that I thought that was so amazing, you know, and not that I'm not saying it was easy. It took a little while, but, you know, it took me 25 years for my body to get here. So, you know, a couple months to get out of it, I don't think is too long to wait. You know, I was so interested and I ended up going back to school and, you know, I really wanted to learn all about this. At first, it was really more for myself. And then after, it was sort of like, well, now that I know some of this, I could try to help some friends. And then it turned to friends of friends. And then, you know, after a while, a full-blown practice.
Well, when you have a good thing, you don't have to do too much for it to start to spread.
That's true.
And that's pretty much what, you know, I feel, you know, happens to many of us, including, you know, your story and so many of the beautiful people that we interview and who are involved with us. It seems to be where it all starts, is when we have our own personal experience. So I'm not surprised that, you know, you are where you are today after working with yourself and having, you know, what's really wonderful is having that commitment to step into unfamiliar territory.
Right. All right, yeah.
And, you know, because, you know, a lot of times that's scary for people because, and I'll say this, because we've been involved with publishing our newspaper magazine for so long, over 24 years, and, you know, there's so much programming from day one, from the time that we're born, that leans much more into, oh, just take, you know, this drug or that medication or this pill or whatever. And it's really, really sad to see what's going on. And I know, I mean, some people are careful how they say things, and I think anymore I just say it. I just kind of say, you know what, things are really working their way back to, we use the word traditional, Ina, and it's interesting because when I first heard the word, actually two words, one is alternative and one is traditional, and for me, it seems to make more sense that the word alternative is used for, you know, the drugs and the medication and the surgeries and all that, and traditional should be, you know, that which has been around with us for eons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, absolutely.
Very, very interesting with the choice of words. But anyway, now, this next area that we're going to touch on, I didn't tell you this before, but I when I read your notes that you sent to me, I sort of just chuckled at this one because I was at a point in time leaning toward going to school for dietetics. And I kept having this inner conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And that inner conflict just kept on saying, oh, you really may not want to do that. You know, you may not want to take that road because then you are governed by, you know, certain rules and regulations that are under the dietetic arena, and therefore, if you don't, then there's this license that can be pulled or used and blah, blah, blah. So it's just, I had so much of that was going on that I decided that I would not do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have some friends who have some of the same kind of feelings, but they ended up stepping into it with absolute intention of their goals and doing things in a particular way. And I'm very proud of, and particularly this one, you know, what she has done with her knowledge of whole food nutrition and everything. So, you know, it just depends on the person. But anyway, the difference, what we're going to chat on here now, is the difference between dietetics and the word clinical nutrition. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. And there's a lot of confusion, I think, especially from the public, you know, when they say, oh, well, I wanted to see a nutritionist. And, you know, nutritionist is such a vague word because I think it can mean so many different things, as there are so many different types of degrees out there. But generally speaking, with someone who is a dietitian, and that's the program that, you know, you were considering, you know, you're certified with the American Dietetics Association. And as you were saying, you know, they're not the most progressive of associations. And so I think that they tend to follow a little bit more of the sort of conventional model. The training, and by the way, I mean, the training is great. You know, it's 4 years and it's very intense, and you actually work in the hospital for, I believe, one of those years. But what the training is for really is if you wanted to work at a hospital or at a nursing home making meal plans for people, which, you know, I think is very necessary, absolutely. But I think that because it's a little bit more conventional, it doesn't really necessarily look at, okay, what foods are whole and what foods are actually better for you, but really sort of looks more at like, okay, this has this many calories. And I think the view there is that a calorie is a calorie is a calorie. And, you know, as I'm sure you think as well, you know, that's not really true because, you know, we can have calories from soda, which is, you know, 140 calories of pure sugar, or we can have calories from, let's say, fruit, same amount of calories, but you can't say a calorie is a calorie. It's, you know, the way it affects the body, of course, is completely different.
Absolutely.
You know, and so there's a lot of, and I actually have conversations sometimes with, you know, we have patients who are, you know, maybe in the hospital or in a nursing home, and sometimes we have to converse with some of the dietitians that take care of them, and it's an interesting conversation that we have, let's put it that way.
I'd like to be a fly on the wall.
Well, there's some debates, but, you know, after a while, I think sometimes you just have to say, you know, I'm glad that this is what you believe, and I think we should just agree to disagree and go on our way because, you know, sometimes you just can't convince someone and, you know, it may not be worth it eventually. Hopefully, they will learn on their own.
Right.
But, you know, with so with dietetics, I think most dietitians, you know, kind of work with you on the food, but again, it's really more, okay, you need to eat this many calories and this should be fat and this should be carbs. So there's not as much about real whole foods. But also dietitians don't usually have the experience of doing any kind of clinical testing. And this is what is actually one of the bigger things that I use in my practice. It's not everything, of course, but it's something that really helps me a lot. And it's being able to test people to see what's actually going on. You know, and as we were saying before, food has to come first. That's the foundation. So, you know, you can say, well, you're deficient in this vitamin, you have too much of this, let's do a cleanse. But if you're not eating well, those things are not going to work. I always tell people, you could take vitamins until they're coming out of your nose. If you're not eating well, those vitamins are not going to have the same effect. But once we educate our patients on the food and we're on the same page about, you know, what things are good to eat, what's going to actually truly nourish your body, then, you know, we kind of can get into some of the testing. And there are some amazing tests out there. And these are tests that are performed by specialized laboratories. So, you know, it's not just going to Quest or LabCorp and getting some blood work. And, again, blood work can be very helpful and important. But sometimes blood tends to compensate. So if, let's say, something is too low, for example, like your calcium level, because calcium is one of your main electrolytes, and it's actually important not just for your bones, but, you know, you need it for your heart to pump properly. What will happen is your blood will actually, it needs a certain amount of calcium to stay, you know, to be healthy. So the body has these compensatory mechanisms. And what it's going to do is it's going to pull calcium out of your bone or teeth or other areas where there's calcium and put it into the blood if the blood drops down. So when you take a blood test, unless something is extremely wrong and you're very, very sick, your calcium level is going to appear to be normal. But is that really the case? You see, so the body compensates all that. So what we actually do is one of the tests that we use is called a hair analysis, and some of the listeners may have heard of it, you know, if they're interested in the natural medicine, but I find a lot of people have not heard of it, and it's really neat. It's basically we take a little piece of your hair, a couple pieces of hair, I should say, and it gets sent to a lab, and there's several labs that do it, but the lab that we use is a lab in Texas, and the only thing they do is hair analysis, and I find that because that's their bread and butter, you know, I'd rather use them than a lab that does a whole bunch of different tests.
Right.
And
can I ask you, the hair that you take, from what part of the head is it taken?
Well, you know, it has to be new growth. So it doesn't matter if it's from the front or the back. I usually recommend taking a couple of strands from a few different areas just so you get an average. But we recommend doing it for about the first inch, maybe 2 inches, that's closest to the scalp. So it's the new growth. And then, you know, the rest of your hair is long, you know, you could just throw away. And what happens is, you know, when the hair is forming, it's actually exposed to all of the different minerals that are in your body and a lot of the intracellular markers and fluids. And so when the hair actually forms and comes out of the scalp, a lot of those items, especially the minerals, are preserved in like a very convenient record. And so, you know, it's not painful because you don't have to pull or anything. You just cut. And we can see what the true mineral status is. And because hair doesn't compensate the way blood does, because hair doesn't have to be perfect all the time, we can actually see what is too low and what is too high. You know, the other thing that it shows all of the minerals, but it also shows heavy metals. And I'm sure that, you know, you're aware, and perhaps some of the listeners may be aware too, that certain metals, well, really no metal belongs in the body. I mean, things like iron and copper are considered metals, but they're not heavy metals. They're essential. But things like mercury, aluminum, lead, arsenic, unfortunately, they're found in seafood and our environment. And depending on how well our livers are functioning, our liver is a filter, so it detoxifies. You know, some people may have more of an accumulation of them. And most of these metals are neurotoxins, so they can really affect our memory and cognition and just everything in the central nervous system, and it can cause a lot of different problems. So we can see that from the hair analysis. You know, but some of the other things that we can look at is, you know, in our practice, we actually have a lot of patients with digestive complaints, you know, and anything from IBS to, you know, inflammatory bowel diseases like Crohn's disease or colitis. And usually the patients tell me, and usually they come to me after going to several doctors and several different gastroenterologists, and they tell me, you know, I had a colonoscopy and I had an endoscopy, everything is okay. And I even had a test for celiac disease, and everything is okay. But the doctor says, I just have IBS, and IBS, for those of you who are not familiar, it means irritable bowel syndrome. And they say your bowels are irritable, whatever that means, and there's no cure, so you just kind of have to deal with it. Take some fiber. And that's very sad, and I can imagine how frustrating it is to the person who is experiencing all these issues, but yet their tests are quote-unquote perfect. So, you know, and of course, as I was saying before, if there is an issue, there is almost always an answer. Things don't happen just because. And so, you know, with everything that we do, we really try to look at things as from a whole body perspective. So, you know, yes, there's an issue in the digestive system, but sometimes it may come from even somewhere else. And the reason why I find that endoscopies and colonoscopies often tend to be negative is that those things are looking for very big issues. So things like, let's say if you have polyps, which can cause cancer, or some kind of structural issues or blockages. But usually those things, if you had them, you would feel really, really bad. I mean, that is not something that happens all that often. And so I find that a lot of times the digestive issues stem from either having an overgrowth of potentially some harmful bacteria or yeast, candida is another name for yeast, or someone may not be digesting the foods properly because they're missing enzymes or they're missing stomach acid, the liver may not be producing enough bile, or they may be eating foods that their body doesn't like. And it's not an allergy per se where they would test positive for a celiac test, but it could be a sensitivity that sort of forms over time due to the imbalance of the bacteria that they have. And so what we have is we use a DNA stool test for that. And the DNA stool test is actually a lot more comprehensive than any stool test that you can get through a regular lab, because we're actually using DNA to identify all of the possible pathogens, bacteria, parasites, all types of yeast. We can actually see not just if it's there, but what kind of yeast or bacteria there is. We also can actually look from there to see if there's inflammation, how the person is digesting their food, specifically their carbs and proteins and fats. We can look at antibodies to gluten, which is different than just the traditional celiac test. So there's so much wonderful information, and what we find is once we get all this information, we actually start working on it one at a time. And I always tell people, you know, this is what I think is going on with you, but let's run the test. And once we get the test back, we're going to fix everything that's on the test. And, you know, once you fix all of those issues, sometimes it's, you know, people are almost amazed, but it's like, voila, the issue goes away, because these are all of the, they're a little bit more minor than things like cancer, but a lot of times those aren't the things that cause the IBS or the other concern. So it's really, really neat to see how quickly people can transform and feel better if they do the right things. And it's so helpful to do the testing so that we can really identify what the issues are and customize things as much as possible. I always try to tell people, you know, you don't want to tailor, you know, the individual to the treatment. You want to tailor the treatment to the individual whenever possible, because, you know, we're so different on the outside, but we're also very different on the inside. So we want to really be aware of that.
I know that in your information on your site and in different places, you know, I definitely picked up a couple very, very important things. And that is that you really address, and you've been saying this in all your different ways of saying what you have already said, which is that your focus is on, you know, the root causes of a person's concerns and clearing up, you know, confusion. In fact, you have a saying, your little saying there next to your picture that says that, you know, and clearing up the confusion, you know, about healthy eating, because there, you know, there's so much confusion on people's minds. It's just, they're like, and just the other day I was talking to a person, and one of the things, and I'm not oversimplifying it, but I find that even talking with someone and having a light go off for them, when I say little things like eat as close to mother, father, nature as possible, the least, you know, processed, altered, added to, you know, all the things that can go on. And at the same time, certainly realizing that a person can actually have an issue also with something that's, you know, considered very healthy, because another part of your site that you focus on and you say, which is that, you know, everybody's body is their own. Everybody's body is different from each other, even though similar. And that is what I've always wanted people to realize, that, hey, you know, you might be thinking that you're eating healthy, but there's something in that process that isn't working for you.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, just to add to that a little bit, you know, not only is there, I mean, we all, I think, have issues with a lot of the chemicals and the processing of the foods. But we also all have individual kind of sensitivity, so to speak, to certain foods. And if someone wants to take it, you know, and step up from that, you know, there's some pretty neat tests that can actually take a look at your blood. And what the lab does is it picks out your white blood cells. Those are your immune cells. And then they take different antigens of food, and they can do it for up to 200 different foods, and they will expose your white blood cells to all of the different foods, and then they watch and they see what happens. So if your white blood cell expands or shrinks or changes form, in any way, that means that your body's getting inflamed from that food. And then the severity of the change that the white blood cell undergoes is how we can figure out exactly how sensitive you are to a food. And it's interesting because, you know, people sometimes find they have sensitivity to foods that could be quite healthy. I've seen on the test things like broccoli or lemon come up, and you would think, well, how could that be? Broccoli so good for me. And yes, it's a good food, but something maybe in your DNA or just something in your biochemistry at this point in time does not like that food. And so if you're able to eat foods that are on the list that is okay for you versus the list that's more of a sensitivity, then you're decreasing inflammation even further, you know, in addition to decreasing sugars and processed foods and things like that. So
let me ask this. There's something else just came to mind because, let's say someone's having a reaction to, let's choose the broccoli, for instance. And here's an interesting thought. You know, it could or could not be about the broccoli itself. It could possibly be depending on how the broccoli was grown. And if it has pesticides, and if it was grown in herbicides, things like this. They're just, so that's what comes to the forefront for me also, that just maybe it's not really the makeup of the broccoli.
That is a possibility. That is definitely a possibility. I mean, I believe that the lab uses a very pure antigen that's not laced with any pesticides of any kind. I'm not sure how it is in their testing, but if someone is doing their own sort of food diary and they, you know, eat a food and don't feel well after that food and they notice that every time they eat the food this happens, I think that absolutely it could be how it's grown, and especially I find this with meats. You know, if let's say someone is eating beef and it's not grass-fed and corn-fed instead, the person could have a corn allergy and the corn and the beef is coming through and hurting them even though it's not them actually eating corn or just some of the other processing that the foods go through. So you're absolutely right. Yeah.
And of course, I realize that, and I would think, like you just said, that in regards to the actual testing, that they would use, you know, pure testing ingredients. I mean, I personally don't know a whole lot about that part of it. But so in regards to, I know we're, you know, we've touched a little on the food sensitivity. So are you finding that there are a lot of people with food sensitivity?
Yes. And the number is growing every day. And, you know, food sensitivity is a little bit different than food allergies. I just wanted to mention that because I know there's a lot of confusion there. And your allergies are usually something that is an immediate reaction and a very true severe allergy. Like sometimes what children have, let's say, to peanuts or shrimp, you know, their throat can close up and they can go into anaphylactic shock. And, of course, that's very dangerous. But thankfully, those kind of allergies are actually less common. There's only maybe a few percent of the population that have them. Whereas the sensitivity is usually something that's more of a delayed reaction. So when you eat a food, maybe it's an hour later, maybe two, maybe as long as 72 hours later that you would experience something. And it's usually not a severe thing that you can't breathe, but it could be really anything. It could be a stomach ache, it could be gas or bloating or a headache, or maybe some skin dryness or a pimple. Really could be, the symptoms could be from A to Z, and it's different in different people. And what I find that often happens is that sensitivities are not things that you're born with, but rather things that develop over time. And so if someone, you know how we were talking before about people who have digestive issues? Well, if someone, let's say, has an overgrowth of yeast or bacteria, which can maybe happen if they have taken too many antibiotics in their lifetime, especially as a child. And antibiotics deplete the good and the bad because they don't know any better. But the bad, I always tell people, it's sort of like a weed. It's going to grow back no matter what. Whereas the good bacteria, unless you put it back through fermented foods or things like probiotics, doesn't really come back. And so, you know, if someone has an overgrowth of this bad bacteria or yeast, those things can, over time, damage the intestinal wall and create these teeny, teeny, tiny microscopic holes. And that's something that's called leaky gut. And then when they're eating food, if they don't chew well, which is very common, and they don't digest the food well, if they, let's say, lack enzymes or they lack stomach acid to break down the food, the bigger food molecules, they don't get broken down completely, and they can actually seep from the inside of the intestines through those little tiny holes into the bloodstream. And what will happen is our bodies are really smart. And the bodies say, well, there's something in the bloodstream that doesn't belong. It must be bad. I'm going to attack it. Now, the body doesn't know it's just the food because food doesn't belong there. And so then when the body attacks it, it creates an antibody, which means that the next time the person eats the food, the body will recognize it and attack it again. And so you see that's how these sensitivities are created. And because there's so many people that have been on antibiotics, that, you know, also the other thing that can feed bacteria is lots of sugar and processed foods like we were talking about. And there's so many people that, you know, eat those kinds of things. I think a lot of us have more of this bad bacteria than good, and so we create more and more food sensitivities as a byproduct of that. But, you know, as much as it's so common and scary, thankfully, you know, we can do stuff to fix this. So, you know, we would work on obviously avoiding that food for a short amount of time while we're fixing it and, you know, get rid of the bacteria, heal the intestines, put the good bacteria back in. And then usually many people find that they are able to eat some of those foods again, maybe not all of them and maybe not in huge amounts, but they can tolerate them much better.
Right, absolutely. And listeners, I would like to say that we are speaking with Ina Toppler. No, I'm pronouncing the last name correctly, right?
Yes.
Okay. And her website is www.completenutritionandwellness.com. Again, that's completenutritionandwellness.com. And Ina, do you have a particular phone number that you can also give?
Yeah, absolutely. Our office phone number is 201-238-2720, and we're located in New Jersey. However, I do want to mention that with a lot of the work that we do, we work with people from all over. So if you're not in our area and you had a question or were interested in a test, that's not a problem at all. A lot of things can be done by phone or email, and we welcome questions all the time or comments. And, you know, with a lot of the testing that we do, there are kits that can be sent to people's homes, and then they would do this, like sometimes, let's say it's a urine sample or a saliva sample, they would do that at home and send it to the lab. It comes with the prepaid envelope and everything that they need. And if it's blood work that we do, that can be, you know, done at their local lab. So definitely not an issue that, you know, we're in New Jersey and some of the listeners may be in a different area of the country.
Right. So again, listeners, you heard Ina say that it doesn't matter where you are on the planet. So if you are having issues and you just, you know, haven't addressed them in the way that you would like to or have attempted and it's just not happening for you, feel free to also call with questions and don't feel any kind of, you know, an obligation in making a phone call, because that's where everything starts, is with that first step. So please be sure to go ahead and give Ina a call. And how about giving the phone number one more time?
Sure, absolutely. It's 201-238-2720. And then another thing, if someone is maybe not, if they don't like using the phone, we do a lot of stuff by email. And our email address is info@completenutritionandwellness.com. And by the way, the and is spelled out, A-N-D. You know, our office receives the emails and, you know, people can ask questions that way too. We also, the way we set up the website, and we're constantly updating and adding new information, but we try to make it as a, you know, resource for not just our clients, but, you know, for the general public as well. And so we do a monthly newsletter, and then we post those articles on the website. And there's a lot of information on all types of different health concerns and how, you know, we can work on fixing that. We have stuff about thyroid and autoimmune disease and digestive complaints. And, you know, then also we do some seasonal things like prevention of the flu and immune support. You know, we have a good article on different types of sunscreens because I think there's a lot of confusion on that. So we did that this summer. So there's a lot of, you know, we want it to be a learning tool. So there's a lot of things that you can find on there. You know, another thing. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just wanting to also mention about the extreme benefits, you know, of cleansing. And I know we touched on that briefly, but that's one of the most important things is, you know, focusing on the cleansing and actually through having a diet of whole foods, that in itself helps to clean out the liver, et cetera. So
Absolutely. And cleansing is such a wonderful thing, but I think that also in today's world, cleansing could be a little bit of a interesting word just because it means so many different things to so many different people, you know, because we have so many fat cleanses, you know, from all the pills that you can take to, you know, fasting to juicing. And, you know, I think that there's benefits to all the different things, but if it's something that's very short term and something that doesn't require you to do much with food, I find that it usually doesn't have a long and lasting benefit. You know, like even with the juice cleanses, I mean, I think they're wonderful and the juices are great for you. But, you know, if you drink only juice and nothing else for 3 days, you might lose a couple pounds of water, you know. And, you know, yes, you'll get some nutrients. But if you go back to your regular diet, you haven't learned anything in those 3 days. And whatever you may have gained will, you know, benefits you've gained will just all, you know, go away. Whereas the types of cleansing that, you know, you and I were talking about when we spoke earlier are cleanses that are really whole foods based. And usually with the cleanses that we do in the practice, they're all anywhere between about 21 and 28 days. It takes 21 days to form a habit, so we have to do it for at least that amount of time. And, you know, we take out foods that are generally inflammatory, like sugar and dairy and gluten and all the processed foods. But, you know, even though that sounds like a lot of food, it still leaves tons and tons of foods we can eat,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Fresh fruits and vegetables, lean proteins, clean gluten-free grains like brown rice or quinoa or lentils. And, you know, when people eat this way, they first learn, you know, how to balance meals properly, but then they're still cooking, so they're not getting away from food completely at all. And by eating really clean, it gives your liver a break. Think of it as a vacation for your liver. And this way, the liver could say, ah, I don't have to work so hard to process your food. Let me see what kind of toxins I can find under there that's been, you know, have been stored for a long time. You know, and then sometimes what we do is in addition to the food, and like I said, food's foundation, and that's really, really important. But for some people who we know may have extra toxins, sometimes we would use a combination of herbs and certain green vegetables in concentration to help the liver detox just a little bit better. But nothing that's, you know, too extreme, or, you know, we don't want to pull too many toxins out at the same time. Just very gentle support, almost like a tonic for the liver. And so, you know, it's really wonderful. And I find that, you know, once every 6 months or once a year, you know, it's nice because the liver is a filter. You know, we clean our air conditioner filter once a year. You know, what's to say that we shouldn't do that for the liver?
Well, and as we've said before in some conversations, nature is an amazing thing. And, you know, we have our seasons of the year of which nature, you know, goes through its changes, and so do we. And it's very important to be conscious of the cleansing. And as Ina said, there's, you know, numerous ways to do that. So on that note, I always realize that we can go on and on and on in these amazing interviews because there's so much wonderful knowledge to share with people, and so many people just aren't familiar with the, you know, just the what we might be considering the average kind of information. But that's why I want to again encourage the listeners to feel free to simply call Ina. And again, their website is www.completenutritionandwellness.com. And I'm going to give her an opportunity to, again, give you the phone number and the email. And please don't hesitate to just pick up the phone or send the email off and inquire about anything, even if it's just what you consider something trivial but you're curious about it. Go ahead and open up the channels and create the connection, and that way you'll see what you can do for yourself. So, Enya, I want to go back to, you know, the singer Enya?
Yes.
That's what happens to me. That's why what wants to come out of my mouth when I say your name. So anyway, again, the phone number, dear?
Sure. So it's 201-238-2720. And our email is info@completenutritionandwellness.com. And as Martina was saying, you know, the website, which is completenutritionandwellness.com, you know, there's a lot of information. So, you know, if you feel like, oh, I don't know if I want to reach out, You know, we welcome you to visit the site and just see what's there because there's so much information. You know, one of the things that, you know, we also have on there is a list of protocols. And I know that sometimes people don't feel like they can, you know, they want to call or they may not want to come in. So with the protocols, we have it set up where if you have a specific concern, you can actually click on the protocol and it actually gives the types of foods and potential supplements that could be helpful for that. So it's not custom completely to the person, but it's more custom than if you were just to go online and research that on your own, you know, and it's also, of course, from a very integrative point of view. So that's another good sort of tool that people have to use.
I think your site is very, very well done, and the first time I went to it and ended up communicating with you, that's an example. I mean, it definitely just it drew me in. So, but on that note, I'm getting a signal that we're coming the show. So, Ina, I want to thank you very much, and it's a pleasure, and we're going to have some information from you in our Healthy Referral newspaper, our next edition, so that's going to be exciting as well. And, of course, we will send you a link of this show so that you can do what you want with it as well. And the listeners will have time to go and listen to it in an archived way because the shows are up after the live one. And that's what's really extraordinary is to the numbers that are going in listening to the archived shows. So we want to say thank you. And believe me, it's a pleasure to be getting to know you. And I really appreciate everything that you're doing. So keep it up. Mm-hmm. And we will talk very soon.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on. And I am glad to be sharing the information and hopefully, you know, helping as many people as we can. So thank you for that.
Absolutely, dear. And we'll talk very soon.
Great. Thanks.
Okay. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Right.
And again, listeners, please go to www.completenutritionandwellness.com and ask for Ina. And please mention that you heard about an online Your Body and Spirit radio show. Thanks for tuning in. And we will be back here next week, the same time, same place, on Mind Your Body and Spirit radio show. Please just go ahead and tune in and know that we appreciate your mentioning the topics that you want to have us, well, you know, just to take a look at and bring on guests that are about topics that you're really interested in. All right? So we'll see you next week on Mind, Your Body, and Spirit Radio Show. Be well and lots of blessings.